Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A Senate vote to end the government shutdown failed this evening for the eighth time. Before the vote, Senate Republican leader John Thune fixing the blame.
Only Democrats have made demands. And by the way, very expensive demands. And they've taken government funding hostage in an attempt to force through their partisan measures.
Democrats pushing for a resolution that would restore health care funding. With the ceasefire in effect, President Trump today threatening Hamas said if it doesn't disarm, the U.S. will force them to. Cody Ballmer pleading guilty today to the attempted murder of Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, plus numerous counts of arson in the firebombing attack on the governor's residence in Harrisburg in April. 48-year-old Lance Shockley, a Missouri man who has maintained his innocence, executed by lethal injection this evening for the fatal shooting of a state trooper more than 20 years ago. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 202 points today. This is ABC News. General Motors will take a $1.6 billion hit next quarter, with tax incentives for electric vehicles being slashed and emissions rules being relaxed. GM warns many more hits may be coming as it adjusts production in reaction to changes from the Trump administration. Actors Alec and Stephen Baldwin recovering from a car crash on New York's Long Island.
Actor Alec Baldwin says he's fine after crashing his car. Baldwin was driving a white Range Rover in East Hampton Monday morning with his brother Stephen sitting shotgun. A nor'easter was bearing down on the east end of Long Island at the time, but Baldwin says he crashed into the tree not because of the weather, but because he swerved to avoid a garbage truck.
ABC's Aaron Kutursky. 10 philanthropic organizations have launched a coalition called Humanity AI. They're committing $500 million over 5 years to put human interest at the forefront of artificial intelligence's integration in daily life. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the NLCS coming up tonight here at American Family Field. The Dodgers winning a close one last night, 2-1. Milwaukee finally scoring in the bottom of the ninth off a Jackson Chourio sacrifice fly. The Brewers loading the bases with two outs, but Bryce Tarang struck out swinging at a high fastball. Christian Yelich after the game.
You know, once we kind of got some traffic out there and put some good at-bats together late and we gave ourselves a chance, you know, we were one swing away from kind of stealing that thing and, you know, made it interesting at the end. Obviously, wish we could have pulled it out, but, you know, we knew the series was going to be a battle. It was going to be a lot of close games. You know, this one didn't go our way, but we still got a long way to go.
NFL, the Packers begin for their trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Sunday, Lucas Van Ness was carted off the field with a foot injury after sacking Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco and had an MRI.
We definitely avoided something serious, but how long he'll be out remains to be seen.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As expected, the new Tron film, Tron Eris, opened at number one at the box office this past weekend. Unexpected, however, was the $33.5 million haul. It was a bit low, as Disney was hoping for between $40 and $50 million. The film pulled in another $27 million overseas, topping out at $60 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but the budget was $180 million, which will be a tough recoup. Adding to a not-so-great weekend numbers-wise were two other new films. In second place was the action comedy Roofman, which pulled in just $8 million despite good good reviews. The other newcomer was Jennifer Lopez's musical version of Kiss of the Spider Woman, which opened at number 13 with less than 1 million, but on many fewer screens. But it was still considered a disappointment. Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another still shows legs and pulled in almost 7 million in its third week to finish in third place. Gabby's Dollhouse finished in fourth place, and faith-based film Soul on Fire finished in fifth. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers tonight, low upper 40s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, high upper 50s. Another rain chance into Thursday, highs in the mid-60s. More showers around for Friday than drying out and cooling down for the weekend. It's 46 right now.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, TV host, and host of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel. Then Tim Sowers from the Overture Center joins me to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I'm always pleased to have our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, on, and I know you've been a little under the weather, and I really appreciate you coming on. And geez, it's getting kind of gloomy here in the Twin Cities. It's good to see you, and happy day after Indigenous Peoples Day, Arvina.
Yes, happy Indigenous People Day after Indigenous Peoples Day too. I hope you got presents from all your non-Native friends, so they can show their appreciation to you.
Right, just walk into a store and pick something out, maybe.
Just say, appreciate me.
Right, exactly. Well, a lot going on, and I'm glad you're on today. I just have to really give out a quick prayer, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that, because I think some of it has been reported that Trump's cuts have really affected our relatives in Alaska. With the weather and the typhoon, I believe it happened there. And I just wanted to mention that and bring that up to our listeners, that our relatives up in Alaska are dealing with a lot of things.
Yeah, I believe that the typhoon, Typhoon Halong, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I couldn't find a pronunciation guide for that. But caused a lot of flooding in Western Alaska. And I know that one person has been confirmed to have has died from the flooding, and that there are two people missing at last update. And you know, there is, it's a lot of very small villages and villages that have a lot of Indigenous residents. And you know, we're not hearing anything about it in the news. I doubt our president even knows of what is happening. So I'm not holding my breath for adequate funding and support from FEMA, from the federal government generally. And you know, the fact that these places that are affected are fairly remote. I mean, certainly remote compared to, you know, cities and communities around here in Wisconsin and Minnesota. You know, you can't be like, oh, you know, my house is flooded, maybe I go stay at a hotel. Or you can't be like, well, we're gonna, this weekend we're gonna hit up Home Depot, we're gonna borrow a sump pump. You know, those resources are not readily available, just because, you know, there's the villages are so small and far from, you know, major population centers, and that just is going to make the recovery so much harder. And you know, I'm afraid that it's going to come down to a lot of financial support from people that are just giving, that hear about it. And again, there's so much happening now. There's so much happening in the news for us to be concerned about that, you know, news outlets are not reporting so much on this tragedy that is affecting, you know, a large area. But fewer residents. So it's not, because it's so sparsely populated. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking in circles around this.
No, you're doing great. I just want to jump in too. Western Alaska needs your help now. And I'm reading off Associations of Village Council Presidents in Typhoon Halong, and they need, many people are sheltering in schools, rescue teams are working around the clock, and freezing temperatures are setting in. And if you can look that up, Google Alaska and give to the Western Alaska Strong and Disaster Relief and Typhoon Hagla, check it out, Google it. They need your help. And again, I agree 100% with all these other things going on. And we just wanted to mention this, Arvina and I, to our relatives up north that really need our help.
Yeah, and I mean, just to kind of like emphasize, like a lot of these towns and villages don't even have roads to access them, that they have to be accessed either by boat or plane. You know, they are at sea level. So, you know, their permafrost is melting, which is causing the sea level to rise. So, you know, it's just such a confluence of factors that came together that makes this typhoon so disastrous, and why the impact is felt so strongly.
Exactly. Hey, I want to switch gears too now a little bit. Really excited about what's happening with Israel and Gaza. I just want to remind everyone, and Arvina, we know this too, that this was Biden's Biden's plan when he got all the women out. 148 people were out, and if you notice, nobody that was released were women this last time around. And so I want to give the Democrats a shout out for what's happened in a good way. It reminds me a little bit, you know, being old, Arvina, I remember these things. What happened when Reagan was running for president against Carter, and he told the Iranians to hold on to the hostages until after the election. And so it's all smelly and stinky, but that's for real. And I don't know your thoughts on this. It's good news, but also we have to really remind everyone that the Democrats had this exact same plan.
Yeah. And I think that stinky is a good way to, you know, describe a lot of what is happening. That is not to diminish the accomplishment of getting the remaining Israeli hostages released, the living ones. I do believe that they are also returning the bodies of several of the hostages that died while they were being held captive. So while not like a happy reunion, you know, at least their families have their loved one back and are able to care care for their, you know, care for their bodies and take care of them the way they need to. And, you know, there were also at least 1,000, I believe, Gaza Palestinians that were exchanged as well as part of the deal. And I'm sure that their families are also overjoyed at their return. Yeah. And, you know, I think that we've got to think about the good that these families are being reunited with their loved ones. But I do think that everything that happens going forward, it's very tenuous. You know, we don't know how long this ceasefire will last. Mm-hmm. And as you bring up Reagan telling Iran to hold on to those hostages until after the election, I absolutely would not put it behind our president to, think and work towards a solution that benefits him the most, as opposed to doing the most good he could do. A broken clock is right, you know, sometimes. And this time he got a win.
Yeah. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting 2 open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by hobby artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And Arvina, I wasn't paying attention to the clock. I wanted you to be able to finish off your thought, and then we'll get into some more. But really, really interesting things going on here politically. And it's good news, but also we have to pay attention, like always.
Yeah, and you know, I think we're all hoping for, you know, a peaceful process as this ceasefire continues, and that negotiations again continue to move forward, and that it's just so overwhelming. This is such a huge issue, and I find myself having a hard time speaking about it a lot, just because there are thousands of years of context. But you know, what is happening is truly awful, and the Palestinian people are suffering, and you know, it's so hard to parse out all, you know, in some ways, I should say. I mean, because obviously genocide's not good,
right?
You know, and what is happening has been labeled a genocide by many organizations, and several countries from the UN have right. You know, condemned it as such. You know, but a lot of, unfortunately, that struggle becomes co-opted by people who, you know, want to get rid of Jewish people, who hate Jewish people, and then nothing, you know, things get reduced to, you know, if you are supportive of Palestinians people to self-govern, that you are anti-Semitic,
right.
You know, and unfortunately, there's so many people out there, and a lot of talking heads and a lot of leaders, not the talking heads, of course, but talking heads generally. And, you know, they are taking this as an excuse to espouse even more terrible rhetoric against Jewish people. And, you know, it's terrible. And it can be hard to talk with nuance about it in certain ways when the issue is killing Palestinians and you know, the ability of a people to self-govern,
right? You know? Exactly. And it's so, and it's hard for me to talk about it only because I believe most of the Jewish population are not for their leader, and that's kind of like, you know, here in the United States, we have 75 million people that aren't for the leader, that voted against him. So it's really hard because we have governments doing things that the people don't like. And that genocide is one of the things that I'm sure the Jewish people do not like. And for most of them, for sure, you know, do not want that.
Absolutely. You know, there are folks in Israel that are stuck in a situation similar, obviously a different scale, and it's similar to what we are dealing with our president. And, you know, there's not a mandate. There are a lot of Israeli citizens that are, you know, very disgusted and denounce the actions of their government the same way that we do. And unfortunately, there are also, you know, Jewish people that are like accosted or threatened because of their religion. And they might not even have they might not be Israeli themselves, you know, they might not have the same connection to the country, let alone citizenship. And unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, and Native people, we see this too, of people being judged by their government, or an entire ethnic group judged by the leadership. I mean, we're familiar with that, and there are things that I think Native people can relate to on both sides, which I hate using. I'm struggling to come up with the words to, you know, be thoughtful, but and this is such a large scale problem. This is huge. You know, I certainly don't want anybody to take my words as that I'm diminishing anything that is happening, but there are a lot of victims of this, and those victims don't just live in Palestine, in Gaza, in Israel. you know, there are unfortunately a lot of effects felt by people that are not directly related to the situation.
Yeah, definitely.
I really hope that people are understanding like how I'm speaking about this. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth on this.
Well, it's so complicated, and I don't believe you are at all, and you're just speaking the truth, because it is complicated in many ways, because I know Native Americans generally speaking feel for Palestine because of the way we've been genocide tried here in the United States, but in the other hand too, Hitler used what America was doing to Native Americans to the Jews in Germany. So, I mean, that's how complicated it is for us to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me reiterate again, genocide is awful. And even be having to say it in such a way makes me feel, again, awful that we are not able to, convey a lot of these thoughts with this nuance. And there are people that say, well, you're for the Palestinian cause. You must hate Israel. You must hate Jews. And that is not the case.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. You're coming through loud and clear. I want to segue too, real quick. No, you're doing great. And one of the things I wanted to segue to is that, you know, this weekend here all over the country, No Kings Rally is going to be happening. And, you know, over time, there are so clever people, that are putting up protest signs. And then we have Portland and with people wearing costumes and things. Yeah, but we also have the other side of that where, you know, we see Politico put up about all this rhetoric that the right wing young ones are putting up. And that's just insane.
Yes, I know I had just sent you that text about it before we went live about this article in Politico. About a chat of that from like Telegram, I guess. And these messages were leaked, and it was full of racial slurs, full of anti-Semitism, full of, Islamophobia. I mean, any phobia, like fear of any kind of people, if you are not a straight, white, cisgendered, Protestant male, they were probably talking smack about you in this chat.
Well, maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. And I really want to come up with some of the posters. There was one that came up. I can't remember how it went exactly at the No Kings rally at the state capitol, but it was hilarious. I took a picture of it, and I think he said something to the effect that there's too many issues to put on one poster, but he did it more clever than I'm saying right now. And maybe I can bring that up in the next segment. But yeah, Arvina, the last segment was, it's hard to discuss, but we're all human beings, and we all have empathy for victims and people that are being victimized. And I think that's the most important thing that we take away, no matter who they are.
And I also, before we leave, I also want to say that if you are someone that is empathetic, and I am way more empathetic than I should be, I get sad at, old toys being abandoned and, stuff like that. But a situation like this puts those kinds of feelings on overload. And a lot of people shut down, and it can make it even harder to talk about, because talking about it hurts your soul.
Yes.
And I guess I don't know how much better to say that. And
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A Senate vote to end the government shutdown failed this evening for the eighth time. Before the vote, Senate Republican leader John Thune fixing the blame.
Only Democrats have made demands. And by the way, very expensive demands. And they've taken government funding hostage in an attempt to force through their partisan measures.
Democrats pushing for a resolution that would restore health care funding. With the ceasefire in effect, President Trump today threatening Hamas said if it doesn't disarm, the U.S. will force them to. Cody Ballmer pleading guilty today to the attempted murder of Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, plus numerous counts of arson in the firebombing attack on the governor's residence in Harrisburg in April. 48-year-old Lance Shockley, a Missouri man who has maintained his innocence, executed by lethal injection this evening for the fatal shooting of a state trooper more than 20 years ago. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 202 points today. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the NLCS coming up tonight here at American Family Field. The Dodgers winning a close one last night, 2-1. Milwaukee finally scoring in the bottom of the ninth off a Jackson Chourio sacrifice fly. The Brewers loading the bases with two outs, but Bryce Tarang struck out swinging at a high fastball. Christian Yelich after the game.
You know, once we kind of got some traffic out there and put some good at-bats together late and we gave ourselves a chance, you know, we were one swing away from kind of stealing that thing and, you know, made it interesting at the end. Obviously, wish we could have pulled it out, but, you know, we knew the series was going to be a battle. It was going to be a lot of close games. You know, this one didn't go our way, but we still got a long way to go.
NFL, the Packers begin for their trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Sunday, Lucas Van Ness was carted off the field with a foot injury after sacking Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco and had an MRI.
We definitely avoided something serious, but how long he'll be out remains to be seen.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift has gotten tons of attention lately, first for having the number one movie and number one album in America, and then for showing up at her first Chiefs game since her engagement to Travis Kelce was announced, making her pretty much the first lady of the Kansas City Chiefs. But if anyone saw the recent Us Weekly, they would know that Taylor's got some stiff competition, as the headline read, "Brittany Mahomes rocks white shirt and denim while kissing Patrick Mahomes at Chiefs game," and you thought it was a slow news week. If you actually take time out to read the article, she also had a red handbag and let her long blonde locks fall in soft waves. Damn, I've been trying to break that story for weeks. But if you thought that was juicy, Us Weekly recapped two of Britney's Instagram posts. That's right, folks. In America, you have the option of reading about social media posts a couple days later as opposed to reading them hot off the send button. And if all that fails, you can listen to someone make fun of the posts and the article in my Hollywood Beats. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers tonight, low upper 40s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, high upper 50s. Another rain chance into Thursday, highs in the mid-60s. More showers around for Friday than drying out and cooling down for the weekend. It's 46 right now.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children, right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. And I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time on location for the Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Filmmakers, former Packers, all on the show.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Ha ha ha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're with our friend Arvina Martin. And Arvina, I want to switch gears a little bit here. There's some positive things coming out of Minnesota. And I know I have Shelley Buck on the show every once in a while. And I know her as she's an enrolled member of Prairie Island Indian Community here in Minnesota. But she was president of their nation for 6 years, tribal council, and she's just a doer, and she is going to be running for office today, and that's kind of your jam to talk about how exciting it would be to have another Native American here in Minnesota. You know, what we've noticed over the years with our Native community that's been elected is that one of the things, there's a burden on them, of course, explaining things to the other legislators about Native sovereignty. But also, we've had a lot of great things done because of representation. So we're just excited to have Shelley run for, I do believe it is a Minnesota House. Yes.
That I may have made excited noises when I saw that text from you, Robert, about her candidacy. You know, that is one thing that I remain very jealous about with, you know, our Wisconsin-Minnesota friendly rivalry. The fact that you have serving Native elected leaders, and more than one, and that they've been around for a while, you know, is so cool. And you know, I agree that when you are when you're underrepresented, you know, a lot falls on you, and a lot of emotional and mental labor. But the cool thing is that you get to lead by example. And you know, when she wins her House seat, she will able to model that the way, the proper way to work with tribes. You know, she obviously, not just being a citizen but a former elected leader of Prairie Band, you know, has a very large base of working knowledge on how to appropriately work with tribes, and just her doing that sets a really great example for Minnesota's other legislators, not to mention legislators across the country that deal with Native people. And that's so exciting. Is it a lot more and a larger burden emotionally and mentally to carry for a Native candidate and a Native elected? Absolutely. I know that when I was on city council, I was always really, I wanted to be very, very careful about how I, you know, how I served and how I was elected, or how I, you know, led in Madison, because I was afraid that if I did something wrong, that could poison the well for Native candidates running for anything. Yeah. You know, and so I, you know, worked very hard. You know, when we would do things with the Ho-Chunk Nation, you know, I was very clear about my affiliation with the, you know, as an enrolled member, as a citizen of the Ho-Chunk Nation. And you know, I was actually asked to, you know, if I thought I should recuse myself on an issue regarding an intersection. Perhaps you remember that, the interstate near the Day Job area, Madison Ho-Chunk Gaming location. And you know, I
know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, I made very clear when I was speaking that if from an equity issue, that this intersection was the intersection most traveled by any Native person in the city, because we had so many tribal members, Ho-Chunk or other tribes that worked for the casino that had to go that way. And it was an equity issue. But there were some that questioned me on that, and asked if I needed to recuse myself. And then I would have to go and explain the levels of you know, distance between decisions made by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, which I have no affiliation with other than being a tribal member. And then, you know, how I don't really get to make decisions on how that money is used, that nothing changes, you know, and I had to explain why I wasn't recusing myself. Because if that were the case, then I would have had to recuse myself for any issue involving Ho-Chunk Nation.
Right.
It's like, what? Yeah.
That was a dangerous road, too, until...
very dangerous.
For everybody, not just Ho-Chunk, right?
Well, yeah. I remember being so scared, especially at night, you know, having to navigate that intersection. It was terrifying. And I hated doing it every time. And I love that you can, you know, take the off ramp and you know, go around, and they named a road over there Mahinch Way.
Yeah.
Mahinch is, and it's spelled like the way Ho-Chunks would spell it, you know, it's with our alphabet. Mahinch is our word for milkweed, the plant. So the first time I had to go and then kind of like turn around at that intersection, I saw Mahinch Way and I was like,
yeah.
Yay! But you know, being an underrepresented, a member of an underrepresented community, when you have to go in and into these spaces where there are, you know, you're in a position of power, there's conversations and you are at the table, there is a lot more that you carry with you. And that's why we need more of us elected to these offices, because it helps take that burden away. You know, I also think about how amazing it was for Sharice and Auntie Deb to be sworn into Congress at the same time. I mean, what a gift that they had, that they were able to commiserate and go through it with each other and go through together and have each other's support. And it also brought us that amazing moment where now former Secretary Holland came and reserved her seats for the State of the Union with a Pendleton blanket or a Pendleton style blanket.
Oh, good memory. Good memory. Oh,
that's one of my favorite memories. You know, she did it like we all save seats, you know, like put down your blanket and it was awesome. It just made me so happy.
I had Ruth Anna Buffalo on when she was a representative in North Dakota, and now she works here in the Twin Cities at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. She's the CEO there. But I'll never forget the picture of her kind of giving a fist pump, wearing her regalia. I feel like that's such an iconic picture, too, with her fist pumping and wearing regalia after being sworn in.
Absolutely. I know exactly which picture you're talking about. And, you know, that picture and the fact that she won, the fact that she was sworn in wearing her regalia, and then finding out that one of my relatives is related to her too, you know, I got to like meet her and everything, you know, you know, Indian country small. But you know, it just, those images are so important to, we need to have those images being present in all fields, you know, STEM fields. Let's have some Native people at the Large Hadron Collider, and everything. Those pictures make me really happy, and that representation makes me happy.
Well, and two, you being the first Native American city council person in Madison, you're huge too. And I just got to say this, Arvina, too, because we kind of had a really an emotional last segment. I want to tell you how important you are to me, but also to me especially, but I know our listeners, about what you bring to this show, and not only the energy, but the knowledge. And I just want to say that to you right now, because it's just, you know, we are blessed to have you talk about these things to our community, because I believe you articulate it so well. And during Native Roots Radio, this is probably one of the 2 days, but for sure one day when you're on, that we can talk about what's happening politically to our native community and our relatives on Turtle Island. And I just want to say how much I appreciate you and having this conversation. And I also want to just segue to Emerge Wisconsin, because I know the last segment, we're going to talk a little sports and it's going to go quick, but let's talk again about your success with Emerge and what, and an update and how people can reach out to you and donate and find out more.
Yes, we are active and we are recruiting. We are looking for folks that are considering running or thinking about running for office to apply for our 2026 class that will be starting the first week or the last weekend in January. Our applications are open until November 14th. You can go to wi.emergeamerica.org to navigate to our application link. And oh, there it is on the screen right there. And you know, I want our voices heard at all levels. And I, you know, want to help people on their journey to political and electoral success, and then serving with distinction and with the integrity and honor that we know that we as Native people have. You know, it's just, it's really exciting. If you've ever thought about it, you know, you should absolutely take a chance, send an application. You can email me at arvina@emergewi.org. If you have questions, even if you don't live in Wisconsin, I can help direct you to whether it is other Emerge training programs, because we do training programs nationwide, or to, you know, communities or organizations in your community that can help you. And we are having our Step Forwards. If you go and check out our social media on Facebook and on Instagram, you will find information for our next Step Forward, which is a free training that we offer. It's 1 hour long, and you can think about and learn about how to make that choice to run for office, what seat you want to run for, and when you want to run, and how to prepare yourself for that big moment when you announce your candidacy.
All right. Well, I want to say a little bit more about that when we come back, and then we'll get into sports. Thank you, Arvina. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Arvina Martin.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda. and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio. Arvina, sometimes we're on our affiliates tight clock, so I would like you to just mention the last couple minutes of what you said in the last segment about how to get a hold of you. And also what was important, too, is that if you're listening to this, which I know people all across Turtle Island are listening to this show, there are other Emerge places that you can help guide them to in different states.
Absolutely. Emerge has affiliates in 27 states across the country. And we also do trainings at the national level. So if your state doesn't have Emerge, or, you know, you can't make the trainings that your state offers, there are virtual signature programs, which is the one that we will be starting in 2026 in January. You know, you can find out information about us at wi.emergeamerica.org. Again, please do not hesitate to reach out to me directly at Arvina, A-R-V-I-N-A, at emergewi.org. And you know, trust in yourself and know that your voice is important, and your point of view and your lived experience as a Native person is valuable, and is important to, you know, making sure that Native people are considered when creating policy that affects us and that affects other people. You know, we have a different worldview than a lot of people, and it is absolutely valid and needs to be considered when lawmakers are discussing and voting on policy that affects us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for doing that. I just wanted to make sure, because some of our Wisconsin clocks are, you know, pretty tight, and I know we're pretty chill here in the Twin Cities at the mother station, but I wanted to make sure that last bit was put out there again in the universe. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your Packers here, 27-18 victory. You got to be happy with what's happening.
Yes. Yes, I am happy. I'm also glad that there are no more undefeated teams in the NFL, so we'd like that monkey is off the back, so we don't have to think about that anymore. I almost kind of prefer it when my team loses, like, in, I mean, not the first game, but maybe like the second or third game, so they don't have that like chasing perfection on their mind. And because I think that gets, you know, then you get stuck into your plays and you don't make things happen in the moment when they can happen. But you know, and also, as somebody who grew up a Wisconsin sports fan in the 80s when all of our teams sucked.
Well, not the baseball. Not the baseball. The Brewers were good.
The Brewers went to the World Series last in 1982 when I was 2 years old. So like I don't remember that.
Okay, sorry.
You know, unfortunately. So like, you know, I am really excited, and I kind of prefer it when my team has to be scrappy the whole season rather than cruising through, because again, that's how you find out what you're made of. And you know, like this is the early part of the season. If you think, like, I love sports movies and like, mm-hmm. you know, like cool. I mean, and I'm talking about like the Cool Runnings and Rudy, and movies like that. I love those. And my Derby team knew me, because I'm currently taking time off for injury. Hopefully it doesn't equal retirement, but
no.
Yeah. But you get to that certain point of the season, and it's all the work that you just have to keep pounding away at it and keep putting in that work, even though things are hard. And even though it's like that point in the season where everything hurts, but you still have like half a season to go. And I always call that training montage time, you know, when they show the athletes and the team members putting in the work, lifting weights, running on
kind of
ice.
A Rocky montage, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, you know, we're not quite to that point in the NFL season where it's training montage time, but we're getting there. And again, I think that a team that has to be scrappy learns a lot about themselves as players, and they learn a lot about their teammates as players, and are able to and have to put that trust in each other in a way that that teams that just cruise through, like if we're talking about Cool Runnings, the Swiss,
Well, hey, I got to say this again. Yeah. I think last time we had a deep conversation about the pack was how impressed I am with the quarterback. And I was not convinced, but I am convinced. I really am convinced. And we can talk heavily about the Packers because the Vikings had a week off. So, but I'm convinced.
Yeah, no, I think he's great. I think, you know, he's got several, you know, good options like Romeo Doubs. And he also has Tucker Kraft, the guy that grew up on the Standing Rock Reservation and actually had a Standing Rock flag on his helmet last season. I don't know if he still has it. I hope he does. But that, you know, he's like the white Steve from Reservation Dogs. Tucker Kraft is the Packers' white steed.
That's
Steve.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Hey,
so your kicker's injured though. He's got a serious quad injury. So you guys gotta have another kicker come in the meantime. And there's people floating around that have kicked. I'm not sure what the update is, but there's sometimes the games end up with a last minute field goal. So it is a thing, but they do have time to get somebody else in there.
Yeah. I just looked it up as we were talking. I take it back. I did know that our primary kicker was sidelined. I didn't know it was a quad injury, and I'm cringing in like, you know, recognition of that pain. Cause that's a big muscle to have broken. Havrisik is the guy that they called up. He seems to be doing okay. I don't recall. I can't pronounce his name quite yet, but you know, those are the kinds of opportunities that you get when a team has to struggle a little bit. You know, somebody new comes in and maybe he's like, you know, I'm thinking of a young Brett Favre stepping in because Don Majkowski got injured and took it over.
Hey, I got to jump. We only got a couple more minutes, and I'm a big baseball fan, so I want to jump. First, the Brewers, you know, defeated the Cubs 3-1, which is huge because the manager of the Cubs is from Wisconsin, and he left the Brewers to go to the Cubs. So
I know people. Oh, yeah, so yeah.
Council's his name, and so good on the Brewers for defeating him and the Cubs, right?
And it was nice.
And then last night too, one of the craziest double plays ever. I think the way it went, we'll have to talk about that. We only got like a minute left, but I wanted to breeze through this. They're down one game, 2-1 with the Dodgers. I really, really, really hope the Brewers can pull this off and move on.
I think it's just one. I think that was the first game.
Right. The score was 2-1 though.
Oh, gotcha. Never mind.
Hey, no problem. And this is our first time doing sports together, so.
And team member Anthony Siegler. I don't know if he's playing tonight, but he made the roster. He's Navajo.
That's right. Thank you so much for bringing that up. See, you learn so much more here on Native Roots Radio than you do on these other shows, because maybe that should be the tagline. Arvina, again, so grateful for you and being on, and grateful for Emerge Wisconsin, and grateful that you're Ho-Chunk. And
you're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, we'll talk to Leslie Dock, the national chair of Protect Our Care, about the stakes of the government shutdown fight for affordable health insurance for families.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Major airports across the country, including in New York, Chicago, and Salt Lake City, refusing to play DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's video to travelers.
Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government. And because of this, many of our operations are impacted, and most of our TSA employees are working without pay.
The airport citing political content, which violates the airport's policies. The Senate tonight voting once again down a bill that would have ended the two-week-long government shutdown. Chants of swear her in as protesters march to House Speaker Mike Johnson's office demanding he swear in Representative-elect Adelita Grijalva of Arizona. When sworn in, her vote would be the last needed to force a measure to release the Epstein files. A fragile ceasefire still holding in Gaza and an effort in coastal Alaska to find housing for people displaced from their small villages by the remnants of Typhoon Halong. This is ABC News.
You're listening.